There are those who believe that the rights afforded by the U.S. Constitution are absolute, while others believe that there are limits to them. Recently, a North Carolina man learned the hard way and costly way how in New Jersey even the law believes there are limits on constitutional rights. In this case, it concerned the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. Now, technically, you could say this man was arrested and charged with a gun possession crime, even though he legally possessed the gun that he was found with. Here to try to make sense of all this from the Public Affairs Office of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action is Lars Dale Sagi. Morning, Lars.
Morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
And check out the NRA as well as the NRA Institute for Legislative Action. Your starting point is NRA.org. So if I'm understanding things right, Lars, gentleman by the name of Brian Fletcher certainly goes beyond, above and beyond the call. He's not a rescue worker by trade, but one of his things is when storms hit, his specialty is to basically put cell towers back together. And for those who aren't in the know, getting to a lot of cell towers, even in bright, sunny, great weather is a challenge, never mind after storms hit. So, and climbing them is a whole nother situation. So this guy really puts an effort out to get things right after the storm. And when we had some heavy-duty storms hit in June in the Mercer County area of central New Jersey, Brian and his crew came up, and they were waiting for their next assignment when the police showed up. Tell us what happened next.
Well, what happened is they were waiting overnight at a rest area, and a police car came up, had the lights going on, and Brian went out to see what was going on, just to let them know that, hey, I was called up here to help out. You know, more than 500,000 people lost their power, and there were problems with the cell phone towers, and that's one of the reasons that he went up there. And they were talking with the cops, and they were joking around, and everything was good. And as they walked back to the truck, Brian did what he usually does in North Carolina. He said, oh, by the way, I have a firearm in my car. And with that, everything changed. The joking stopped, the smiling stopped. Brian was put up against the car, he was cuffed, put in the back of the police cruiser, and now he's facing 5 to 10 years in a New Jersey prison because he told the policeman that he had a gun in his car.
And we should point out, too, that in his home state, Brian has a right to carry permit.
That is correct. Yes, he does. And with all this, technically, was he breaking the law in New Jersey? Yes, but then you have to look at the law in New Jersey, which is completely ridiculous when it comes to this. Here's a man who had a concealed carry permit in North Carolina for years. He was in good standing. The local police know him. They like him. They've even gone and offered up testimony for him in this case in support of him, saying that he's a good guy. Now, the reason that he has a firearm for something like this is because when he's called out on these type of assignments, you never know where you're going to be working. And sometimes these cell towers are in not the best of neighborhoods. So in order to protect himself and his crew, he carries a firearm. He did not know what the laws were in New Jersey, and he went up there with best intentions, and now he's facing up to 10 years in jail.
Now, the official charge is second-degree unlawful possession of a handgun. Now, there is an out in New Jersey. It's called Pretrial Intervention, PTI program. It's at the judgment of the county prosecutor's office of whether or not someone can get into that. And they say to the judge, it's cool with us, put him in and keep him out of jail. Say that for the violent criminals. Although we've seen, Lars, in New Jersey, that PTI program isn't always fairly judged, pardon the bad pun there, because you turn back the clock a couple of years ago now, we had Shanine Allen, who was a Pennsylvania mother, who was arrested, and it was October 2013 near Atlantic City, for having a legal in Pennsylvania, legally possessed firearm in her car, and I believe it was a traffic stop, and the cop came across the gun, and she applied because first offense, nonviolent, for the PTI. The Atlantic County prosecutor denied her application 3 times, yet at the same time, when Ray Mercer beat up his girlfriend in that elevator in the casino in Atlantic City, the Atlantic County prosecutor, basically gave him a limo ride into the PTI program on the first attempt.
Right. Well, with these programs, you never really know who's going to get in, how they're getting in, and what it's actually going to do. And when you look at what happens there in New Jersey, especially with these gun laws, you don't know who it's actually going to affect. There was the case of Gordon Van Gilder, a 72-year-old retired teacher, who he was arrested for having a 300-year-old flintlock pistol. This is a flintlock pistol. This is powder and ball. This is something that you see in the Revolutionary War movies. It's not something that's anything more than a collector's piece, because if for no other reason that if you actually try to use this type of a firearm, there's a good chance that it would blow up. So this is something that's to be put on display. And here's this 72-year-old teacher. He's got a pension. He's living on his pension. And he was facing 10 years in prison as well. Then there's also the case of Stephen Josie, who was a 20-some-year-old security guard. He had applied to the local police station in order to become a member. And he had it's put the pistol that he had for his job that he legally owned in his glove compartment, forgot about it, and when he was pulled over for a traffic stop, next thing you know, he was facing 10 years in jail as well. Now, those two are luckily enough have gone on, and they're no longer facing any charges, but that's not the case for Brian Fletcher. And the question is not the fact that ultimately a few years down the road that they might be cleared, but that why would they have to be facing these charges in the first place?
Just I misspoke a couple of seconds ago. I said Ray Mercer was a boxer from 100 years ago. It's actually Ray Rice I was referring to, obviously, with the elevator incident. We're talking with Lars Daleside from the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, NRA.org on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And New Jersey, certainly, we've talked about frequently in the show, New Jersey is always ranked as the most unfriendly business climate among the 50 states. It's also among the most strict as far as gun laws are concerned. But how effective are those gun laws, Lars, when we have one of the most dangerous cities in the country, Camden, within the borders of what is supposedly the state with the best gun laws going in the country?
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at where there is this type of activity, and you're seeing this happen in New York, where the gun laws are very strict. You're seeing this happen in Chicago, where the gun laws are very strict. And, of course, you see it happening even out in California, where the gun laws are very strict. And people haven't been able to put together the idea that strict gun laws means that the honest, law-abiding citizen doesn't have a firearm to defend themselves. And that's not news to the crooks. That's why they use guns there, because they know that they're not going to be facing any problems, that all they have to do is go in and pull out their gun, and next thing you know, you're the one who's facing down there. Your gun is secured at home, or you don't even own one because you're not allowed to, because only the politicians and the elite are allowed to get hold of them. And it's quite frustrating when you see the good people in New Jersey and all throughout the country, who they've gone through these courses, they've gone through these steps, they know how to legally and responsibly use their firearm, and they're not allowed to.
Well, here's another example, too. Hopefully I don't mispronounce the name. I believe it's Carol Bonet, B-O-W-N-E. She was a domestic violence victim. Her ex-slimy boyfriend harassed her, threatened her, and she followed the letter of the law and got the restraining order, which is empty as far as an abuser is concerned. So she took it to the next step and applied for a New Jersey pistol permit. That was on April 21st of this year. And that's when the clock starts. New Jersey law, the state has 30 days to issue what's called the FID card and or the pistol permit when they're applied for. Every week, Carol would call her police department. What's the status of the paperwork? 30 days. Clock kept ticking and ticking. June 1st. She made one last call to the police department, check on the permit. Still no response. 2 days later, her ex-boyfriend murdered her. Finally, 42 days after applying for her pistol permit, that's the day she was slaughtered, long after the 30-day limit.
Yeah, that is a true tragedy to hear what happened to her. And when you look at the entire process out there, it is completely and utterly ridiculous that this woman waited. It was 40-some days, 41 days after she had called in to find out about a permit. And then 43 days, 2 days later, her boyfriend stabbed her to death in her own driveway. You know, she did everything right. There was nothing more that she could have done. And because of this ridiculous law, where the it wasn't even the fact that it wasn't even following the law. It was the fact that the officials up in New Jersey couldn't even keep up with the 30-day mandate that they have in order to process these things. And because of that, we no longer have her. And, you know, Governor Christie went ahead and asked for a commission, and they're going to study and they're going to look at it, and hopefully it'll be enough to convince some of the legislators that, okay, we need to actually act on this, that we need to trust our people, that the good law-abiding people of New Jersey can be trusted to defend themselves. And hopefully that'll be a lesson taken from this. And it's a heck of a price for her and her friends and family to pay. But hopefully this will mean that down the road, those that are facing similar situations won't have to suffer the way that she did.
And hopefully we can get to the point where the system gets ahead of the criminals and the evil rather than the evil and the criminals always staying ahead of the system. In the meantime, I want to urge you to go to njlegs.state.nj.us, the state legislative website for New Jersey, and that's where you can contact the Mercer County representatives in the State House, Senator Shirley K. Turner, Assemblyman Reed Guccione, and Assemblywoman Elizabeth Marmullo, and urge them to urge the Mercer County Prosecutor's Office to allow this gentleman, Mr. Brian Fletcher, into the PTI program and, you know, save the jail cells for the true criminals. We always hear about overcrowding and the way that the jails are stressed out and bulging. Well, if we have Brian Fletcher given a right that, okay, yeah, he didn't know the full extent of the overreach of laws in New Jersey regarding gun possession, safe or otherwise, and he made a mistake, but it's not a mistake worthy of 5 years in jail, and chalk it up to lesson learned for Brian Fletcher, and maybe a call for a change in the way that the gun laws and structures in New Jersey are all situated. So again, go to the state legislative website and address that issue to those politicians I just mentioned to you, and urge them to just make things more sensible and sane. And the insanity that is happening to Brian Fletcher right now. We've been joined this morning from the Public Affairs Office of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action by Lars Dalesy. Lars, thanks so much for helping us find out more about the story and for the work the NRA is doing to raise awareness of this and many other idiotic issues that the law and the enforcement of the law create. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me, Chris.